Father, we come before you to seek your guidance, to seek your voice, to hear what you have to say. Lord, I pray that you would enlighten us through your word, or that we might worship you as we hear your word. And not worship in the sense that we get something, but that we give our hearts, our lives, our attention. And we hear what you have. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We all live a busy life. Our lives are filled with things. And we have to do them. I mean, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not going to try to put down anything. I just am saying that that's what it's like. We have a lot going on in our lives. We're all busy. We're trying to do our best to live this life, to pay the bills, to make it to work on time, and to do what we have to do in the job, and make money to support our families and take care of not only our minds and body, but also our spirit. There's so much to do, so much that we need to do. And God has certain commands for us, but unlike the Jews, we don't have what they have. They have 300 plus laws to follow. In fact, this morning I was reading some of them and I was just, you know, my mind was swimming as to all the things that they had to follow. And follow exactly. Well, Jesus identifies three for us. And before we look at them, I want to define some things. You know, we know about the Ten Commandments, and we understand, which we're going to go to in a little bit, that Jesus said there were two commandments that were something we should follow. It fulfills the whole law. But when we talk about commandments, you know, we talk about commandments in the way of, like, you know, a military general or captain giving orders, and you follow those orders. It's like a, you know, when you didn't dare say no to a, you know, when I was in the service, that was a wrong thing to say to an officer. No, or yeah, that I got in trouble for that one. Yeah, what? You know, you just had that respect for the orders, for the office. But the word in the Hebrew goes much deeper than this. The Hebrews use a lot of word pictures. And so the Jewish people, when they were wandering and looking for water and fertile ground and shade, they looked and they found landmarks. And so the word command is more related to direction. It's related to a word that means you're looking for landmarks. You're looking for something to show you the right way, a direction. And so when it's the commandments, it's a direction. It's a landmark. It's for us to follow. Now, if you ignored the landmarks, it could mean some major issues. You could have a lot of hardship. You would be lost in the wilderness, and even end in death. The commandments were landmarks and directions to give us the road, the journey, the way to go, so that we wouldn't have those hardships, so we wouldn't die. So let's look at the first directives as believers in Mark chapter 12, 15:46 in your pew Bibles, 15:46. Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 28. It says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, of all the directives, of all the landmarks, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the word or the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And so we see the first directive, the first on our journey, the first landmark. It's the greatest landmark. God is one. Love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and spirit, and all your strength. If you want to find your way through all the confusion of the world, if you don't want to lose your way in this world, trust Him. Follow Him. Look for the landmark. Look for God. He's the one that we're supposed to follow. And then the second one, very close to the first one, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, I often wondered about that as I was reading that, and I thought, what is that directive? Well, you know, when you're on your journey, when you're looking for the landmark, when you're following the direction, you need help. You need to have somebody with you. You know, the first and greatest, follow God, be devoted to Him. Then don't forget who you're traveling with. You know, it'd be pretty rough, you know, you're traveling with somebody and you tick him off. You know, if you get that guy mad, if you get that woman mad, well then they might not go with you. Or worse yet, in the night, they may leave you. Or they may beat you up. Or worse yet. You know, you don't want to get that one you're traveling with mad. The people that we travel with are the body of believers. We travel together. We follow the landmark. God is one. God is the one we love with all our heart, mind, and soul. And so now, you know, in around the community and such, you know, I've had a lot of people say, well, I can worship God at home, on TV and the radio. Yeah, you can. Just like you can journey on your own in the wilderness following those directions by yourself. You could. But it's a lot easier when you have somebody with you. It's a lot easier when you have a group with you. You know, we like this one program called Alone. I haven't been on for a while, and they switched it up a little bit too, but it used to be where they just give you a camera and you take certain supplies and you have only a certain amount and they drop you in the wilderness somewhere and you're all alone. You can believe some of the breakdowns of these people being all alone. Some, they just start weeping. I don't know if I can take this anymore. I miss my family. I miss my, you know, now all this may go on and on. One guy made it only one day because he saw a bear. I'm not staying out here. You know, the thing is when you've got a group of people, when you've got other people around you, it's not so scary. You can handle it then. And as we journey in this life and as we go through all the landmarks that are out there, as we find them one by one, as we move along this life, it is so much easier to have someone with us. And it says to love them. Love them as yourself. Now, you know, Jesus defined the neighbors as just those that are out there, not necessarily the body of believers. And so we're supposed to try and get along with just about everybody. You know, we're not supposed to try and get people mad even in the secular world or the unbelieving world. But there's one more directive that Jesus left to us. That's in Matthew, one book back, chapter 28. And starting in verse 18, it's an interesting one because it relates to the other two. 28, starting in verse 18, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus tells us, as his believers, as his disciples, to go. You know, it's very interesting that this word in Aramaic, it means to travel, as you're traveling. It's related to the journey. Isn't that interesting? That as we're journeying, as we're going through the wilderness, as we're going through the traveling that we're doing, and we're watching the landmarks, God is one, I love Him with all my heart, mind, and soul, and I love my neighbor as myself, and as I'm traveling to these different landmarks, I'm bringing somebody along with me. I'm teaching those around me as I'm traveling. You know, it didn't say anything about sitting. That's one thing I just didn't see anything about sitting. It was go. Now, we're not all missionaries. We're not all, you know, called to preach and do the things that preachers do and run around the, you know, and talk to people about the Lord. We're not all called to be preachers and evangelists and everything else, but as we're going, how do you disciple? How do you teach? How do you preach? How do you share what you believe? By example. You know, it's easy to come to church, but it's a little harder when you leave church to live it. You know, we're not supposed to have a short fuse in the world. We're not supposed to be involved in the things of this world that don't glorify the Lord. You know, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, and it says that we're to glorify in all the things we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we're supposed to glorify God. That's what it tells us. So, what are we doing that glorifies God? You know, when we use social media, tweeting or whatever, you know, that's the new thing now. The president made that popular, tweeting. Sometimes we maybe should keep those tweets to ourselves. Maybe we should not post that picture or that thing on Facebook. Maybe we shouldn't say what comes into our mind to that person that we meet at the grocery store or that gets us upset. You know, there was a policeman one time. He pulled a car over. They were at a stoplight, and the person in front of them didn't go when the light turned green. They stalled the car or whatever it was, and so this person behind them was honking the horn and yelling at them and cussing at them for not moving their car, and the light turned red, and you know, then the light turned green again, and then the person in front left, but there was a policeman behind this one, and he pulled her over, and she said, "Well, is there a problem?" And he said, "Well, yeah, I just want to see if this is your car. Could you show me your registration?" "Oh, well, yeah, why? What's the problem?" He says, "Well, you have a Christian sticker on the back." And the two didn't equate. "And I just want to make sure that this is your car." Because we act like the world sometimes. We get out there in the world and we act like the world. And so are we following the directives? Are we following the landmarks? Are we an example to those around us? God is first in everything. No matter what we do, glorify Him. Wherever we go, whatever we type, whatever we think, whatever we say, should glorify God. People need to love and accept We need companionship. We all need one another. We aren't meant to be alone. And that's very well exampled by that one television show. People aren't meant to be alone. And then as we go through this journey, as we, no matter where we go, work, you know, especially at work, that's where a lot of times we let our guard down. We stand around the water thing of whatever, cooler, tell the dirty jokes, and laugh it up. Put down the husband or the wife. We talk about somebody in a derogatory manner, and we all have a good chuckle. That's not glorifying God. To do this, we look. We're looking as a church, or as a few of us, we're kind of looking into an office space downtown. I know that's probably a stretch, but a few of us have talked about we want to be more visible. We want to be more in the mix. And I want you to pray with us about that, that if this is what God would like us to do, we would like to do something, be a little more visible, a little more accessible, instead of out here in the end of town. We feel that there's a huge problem in this county and in the United States and all over the world, really. Drug addiction. If you haven't had somebody touched by it, you probably know somebody who has. Families that have been torn apart by drug addiction and alcoholism. Our youth are looking for something. I'd like to have a place there where we could minister to those who are struggling. Those who are struggling with alcohol addiction. Or even families who have individuals who are struggling, and they could come and they could find encouragement. It's a place that would be a safe place for young people to come, to hang out. Easy access right downtown. Godly counsel. To reach out to this community. To be intentional. To step out and do something in Jesus' name. We're on that journey. Wherever we go, whatever we do, should be to glorify God and to follow Him and to teach others an example to others so that they can be brought along as well. We need to be involved. We need to get our sleeves and roll them up before the journey ends. Because I want to tell you that with seeing the things that are going on in this world, this journey is not too much longer. Everything is in total place for the Lord to come at any time. They've talked about, just briefly, India is now going to be biometrically marked. Every single person in India will be given a mark, will be given an identification, biometric identification, chipped, and know exactly who you are, where you are, when, what you're doing at all times. They're planning this year. They plan by 2020 to have most of the world biometrically marked. You don't think the mark's coming? I'll tell you what. They may not call it the Antichrist mark yet, but it's coming very quickly. And it's not to scare everybody, but it's to let us know that, you know, what Scripture talks about prophecy-wise, prophetically, is coming to be. And you just have to go on the news to find that out. Just Google those things. The main media and news outlets are not going to share those kinds of things. You have to actually go on Google and find out that these things are in the works, and they're underneath in the works, and not widely publicized because they don't want to panic people. Well, we need to know about these things, and I'm telling you, it's coming fast. So be in prayer about our outreach desires, and think about your life, how you're living it, who you're living for, who you're glorifying. And, you know, God will lead us the rest of the way in our journey. I'd like us to stand up and sing this last song as...